forth the gospel of the grace of God. First and foremost, let us pray. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, Lord, again, we stand to thank you. Thank you, O Lord, in the midst of these and with these, O God, these many hearts, minds, and spirits, Lord, you've gathered here today and even beyond, O God, by the technology that you brought forth through the Internet and the messages that go up in it. Thank you, O God, for all your people everywhere. And we're praying, O Lord, that your word would be spoken forth today, that you would give enlightenment, illumination, encouragement, and confidence to your people through your words that you minister to your servant. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had said that I would be ministering primarily to the young people today, those that are sitting to the back, to my left, and adults, since you all are here, you can listen in also. Amen. We'll let them listen in also, young people. Praise be God. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians, the first chapter. And we're going to read, for a context, verses 1 through 11. And we will light primarily upon verse 11. For a context to get in focus, thought conveyance, verses 1 through 11. And we will expound primarily verse 11. And as we speak, I want you to keep this thought in the middle of your mind, forefront of your mind. God's sovereign, eternal will, plan, and purpose. And also, if any of you all have the document, Sobering Yet Comforting Thoughts, we had it in, we didn't get to expound upon it in our conference, but if any have the document, Sobering Yet Comforting Thoughts, take it out, put it in your lap or beside you, and we're going to survey it as well, at least the first couple of pages. God's sovereign and eternal will, plan, and purpose. Now, we're going to ask Elder Liverman if he'd be our designated reader. And if you have Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, won't you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Follow along closely. Elder, if you will, verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 1, begin with the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
by the will of God,
by the will of God,
to the saints which are at Ephesus,
mm-hmm.
and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
All right.
Grace be to you.
Grace be to you.
And peace from God our Father,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
uh-huh.
who hath blessed us
mm-hmm.
with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ.
He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And as Pastor just said from his reading, they are in, the heavenlies are in Christ. The heavenlies, our heaven, our abode is in Christ. I know we are manifestly on the earth, in the capsule of time, but we are actually and foremostly, actually, really, our life, our true life, our essence is in Christ.
Amen.
And if we've been, we were in Christ from eternity.
Yes,
all right, read on, Ella.
Amen.
Accordingly.
According
As he hath chosen us in him.
As he, God, hath chosen us in Christ.
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the world was even formed. And before time was ever brought forth. We were chosen, picked out, selected, chosen in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, the worlds were laid.
That we should be holy.
That we, being holy, according to the Greek grammar, as these scriptures were written in, that we being, we're not trying to be anything. We being by God's decree and his placing us in Christ Jesus, we are, we being present right now, holy.
And without blame.
Right now, we out blame. Without blame. I know manifestly in our flesh, wherein is the sinful nature, ordained of God, brought in by God. Amen. In his creation. I know it cuts up, acts up. It resists the will of God and the things of God and the worship of God. But in Christ Jesus, actually, where we really are, where we actually are, we are without blame. Read on, Ella.
Hallelujah. Without blame before him in love.
In love.
Having predestinated us.
Having predestinated us. Now, this is the aorist tense. This word predestination, pro orizo, is in the aorist tense. And it's in the active voice. As God has predestinated us. He is the actor and the mover. Now, I'm bringing this out because we're going to find that word again in verse 11, and it takes on a somewhat different grammatical structure. Here, predestination is in the aorist tense, past completed action by God. Active voice. All right. He predestinated us.
Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
Yes.
Accordingly to the good pleasure of his will.
You see who's doing all the action here? It is God.
Yes, it is.
And him alone. Everything that is said, spoken here, is effectuated by God. Not us. It's all by God. All right, verse 6, Ella.
To the praise of the glory of his grace.
And it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. If he did everything in eternity when no one was there, how else it going to be other than through grace? No one was there to do anything, pro or con, good or bad. So it had to be according to God's grace.
Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
He did that too. He made us. Accepted in the beloved. Passive voice. We were placed and accepted in the beloved. The beloved of God. Verse 7.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
In whom we have redemption. We ain't getting it. We got it. We have redemption through the blood of Christ. What else we have?
The forgiveness of sins.
Oh, yes. We have the forgiveness of our sins. Yes.
According to the riches of his grace.
Again, this is according to the riches of God's grace. We had nothing to do with us having forgiveness of sins or redemption through the blood of Jesus. This was all of God. And it was actuated and effectuated in eternity. That's where this was done. It was performed there. All right. 8.
Wherein he hath abounded toward us.
Here you go in his acts again. Almighty God and Father, he hath abounded toward us in what?
In all wisdom and prudence.
All right, now this is the aorist tense, an active voice. God did it in eternity.
Yes.
If you got wisdom or the benefits of God's wisdom in time, it's manifestation. God did all this goodness in eternity in his decree. Go ahead, Elder.
Having made known unto us.
Same thing again, eternal workings. Having made known unto us. Now what we know and find out now, which is given to us now, illuminated in us now, is manifestation. But it was decreed in eternity. That's where the action is.
The mystery of his will.
The mystery of his will. He gave us these scriptures through the Apostle Paul as a vessel. He had them He had them hid until in his own time he would deliver them to us to let us know everything that he had wrought for us, that he intended and purposed for us to know, that he had wrought for us in eternity. And how was this done and why?
According to his good pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Which he had purposed in himself.
Now God does his mighty and wonderful acts for his own good pleasure. Mm-hmm. And it's for our good. It's for our eternal glory. Because remember where we are. We're in Christ. So it's for our good and our eternal glory, which is in God's glory. All right. But he has purposed his doings in himself.
Yes.
These are God's doing. We want you to focus again on God's sovereign,
yes,
his absolute right, and eternal will, plan, and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He purposed it in himself. All right. Read on, Elmer.
Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time.
When time come to a conclusion.
He might gather together in one.
He consummate in one what?
All things in Christ.
All things in Christ.
Both which are in heaven.
Which are in heaven.
And which are on earth.
Where?
In him.
In him. And verse 11.
In whom also.
In whom also.
We have obtained an inheritance.
We have obtained an inheritance.
Being predestinated.
Being predestinated.
According to the purpose of him.
According to the purpose of him.
Who worketh all things.
Oh my God.
After the counsel of his own will.
That's where we're going with it. Who worketh all things. After the counsel of his own will. We are taught today, and many ministries teach today, that God is a forecaster, that you believe out of yourself in time. So he knowing what you would believe in time, that's how he predestinated, or why he predestinated you, because of what he know you would do. That's foreign to the scriptures. God actualized all things that would be, that would transpire in time from eternity. He actualized them, called them,
yes, it is. Yes.
Decreed them in eternity. Everything that's to be, he did it from his eternal decree in eternity. All right. First and foremost, we must understand that God our Father, our heavenly spiritual Father, is eternal. First off, God is eternal. All right. He is not contained in, governed by, limited in, nor subjected to time.
Amen.
God is eternal.
Yes.
Time is his own creation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now get this. Purely and only for the manifestation, showing forth, revealing, unfolding his eternal plan, will, and purpose. That's all time is for. Showing forth, God showing forth his eternal plan, will, and purpose. Time has no other meaning of existence other than unfolding and manifesting God's eternal purpose. He doing it in time. Showing you what he had decreed in eternity. It's like this. There was a time back when I had a few dollars. I bought a car. It would have been new at that time. And I only bought that car for one purpose. My plant had moved from locally where I used to walk to about 20 miles out. So I bought this reliable car, being pretty new. I figured it'd be reliable. And I only wanted it for one thing, to get me from point A, my house, to point B, my job in Brownstown, and back to point A again, back to my house. That's all I wanted that car to do for me. That's the same thing with time. Time has no other significance than the unfolding or God revealing his eternal will, plan, and purpose in it.
Amen.
That's all purpose time has. Other than that, it wouldn't have no significance. That's all it's for. We are relegated by time, not God. He's the creator of it. And he created for the unfolding and revealing of his eternal purpose. And when he has used it to his desire and intent, it'll have no more purpose. It'll have no more existence. There will be no more time. As Elder Liverman spoke one day, he spoke from the book of Revelation. He said, the scripture said, that I saw a strong angel from heaven put one foot on the sea and one foot on the earth and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that sitteth on the throne, that there would be time no more. God was getting ready to consummate all things. And time will be one of them. There will be no more need for time. All right. God's sovereign and eternal will, plan, and purpose. If we simplified the above three, will, plan, and purpose for human or our comprehension, if we simplified them for our understanding, it would go like this. Will is an intended purpose. To have a will is to have an intended purpose. For and plan is a design arrangement beforehand. You don't plan after. You plan beforehand. It is a design arrangement. You plan it beforehand. And since, if anyone thought I was going to forget this, and since there are no sequences such as did this, did that, then do that, or first, second, and third, in God in eternity, there are no sequences in God in eternity. Beforehand here, beforehand here simply means before God's manifestation of his eternal works in the created entity of time. Beforehand, before he manifested in time. Or, as Pastor spoke also earlier, in the time capsule. And thirdly, we have purpose. Purpose is the intention or aim. Your purpose is what you intend or aim toward. It is the intention or aim of the design arrangement, which is the plan, and it's according to the intended purpose, which is God's will. Again, there are no sequences in eternity. So all these, will, plan, and purpose, are one or at once in the eternal decree of the eternal existence right now, God our Father. Amen. They are one in God's eternal decree. Amen. God decrees it. That's it. Amen. That's it. It's in the decree. His will, plan, and purpose. Now, focus your attention with me. I said we were going to light primarily upon verse 11 of Ephesians, the first chapter. Those that don't have it, please turn to it with me. Those that have their Greek interlinear, you may look on or follow from it. But I have the grammatical constructions right here. Verse 11, in God's sovereign and eternal will, plan, and purpose. It reads, in whom, now this is going to read a little differently than we speak in English, because it's from the Greek grammar and it's exegeted therefrom. In whom also we were chosen. We were chosen. Past tense. We were picked out. Every individual one of God's beloved was specifically and particularly picked out in eternity. You are no accident. Just like we sober thinking parents sometimes tell our children, honey, you are no accident.
Yes, amen.
The Lord deemed for you to be here.
Glory,
yes. No accidents. God chose us who were all going to be in Christ, his beloved. He chose us.
Yes.
Before we were ever on the scene of existence.
Hallelujah.
We just manifested here in, some of us in 19-something, some of us even maybe in 2000-something. But God chose us from eternity. We were chosen, in whom also we were chosen. Notice where we are. We're in Christ. Having been determined, decided, or set apart from the beginning or beforehand. This Greek word that we have predestinated is from, this word predestinated is from the Greek word pro orizo, a compound Greek word. From pro, meaning before, and orizo, meaning to determine. So we were determined or decided upon beforehand. Beforehand what? Before the Lord brought creation or us into existence. Beforehand. And this is according to purpose, plan, and will of him or of the one, the entire whole working, operating, or accomplishing according to the purpose or plan of the will of him.
Amen.
Our being chosen, our being predestinated, is not from being forecasted by God, looking down, see what you're going to do, choose you on behalf of what he see you're going to do. No. It's according or beforehand, according to the will, plan, and purpose of him, the one, the entire or whole or all things, the entire, everything that is in that capsule of time, everything around us. I want you to just in your mind, if you will and if you can,
amen.
Look with me from the eternal vantage point and look into the time capsule of time, the creation of God. Everything in there we had in our doctrinal conference, we had in the time capsule, we had sorrows in there. We had family in the time capsule. We had successes, as we deem and call successes, in the time capsule. We had love in there. We have oopses in there. Oops, failures, as we call them. We have science in there. Everything to do with science, whether it's on the earth or in that great expanse around the earth, in our solar system. Every minute thing that we can't even see. Every big thing that we can see. We have occurrences in there, what we sometimes call accidents.
Amen.
We have faith in there. Oh, you'll relate with this next one. We even got finance in there.
Amen.
We got finance. Yes, in that time capsule. We have family, and we have the concern of health in the time capsule.
Yeah.
Also, we have life and death dilemmas. Why? I don't know if I'm ready to die, and I do want to be with the Lord, but I want to stay here a little longer. I want to see my kids grow up, this and that. And those things in the time capsule are forever, ever changing. They are always changing. You do have sequences in the capsulation of time. This, then that, and then that. but that's manifestation of what God from eternity has already decreed will be. Everything that I mentioned in the time capsule, God from eternity, this is what the scripture is saying, having predestinated us or decided on us beforehand according to purpose, his purpose or the purpose of him, the entire working, operating or accomplishing, not actualizing, that was done from eternity. He's working it out manifestation wise for us to see in time from his eternal decrees.
Yes,
everything.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Good looks or homely looks.
Amen.
Got a job or want a job. Or lose a job. Get a buyout or just get a buy. Foot hurting. Health all right. Got love in your life. Got disappointment. Family is on the ball. Family is disbanded. Everything, God has eternally decreed from eternity. Now, you say, well, oh my God, God's supposed to be a God of love. All these reversive things, you know, the killings and this and that and the other. God also put depravity through the sin nature in the time capsule. And it all is working out. The eternal God put it all in the time capsule. And it's all to his eternal will, plan, and purpose, which will be to his ultimate glory. All of it.
Amen.
All of it.
Yes.
Everything, every minute thing. The changes of the season. More cold, more snow than last year. Which consequently bring more heat bills. Everything, God is working it from his eternal decree. But he put it in the time capsule.
Glory to God.
Remember, saints, we are just manifestly here. Yes, we really have flesh and so forth. We are manifestly here in flesh, but we were actualized in Christ Jesus in eternity. Oh, Lord, we really don't know who we really are. But when we wake up, we go by way of the grave or by way of the catching up. Oh, we're going to be in for a treat or a real surprise.
Amen.
We're going to be in for a surprise. Hallelujah. All right.
Amen.
According to purpose of the one,
yes,
the entire or whole working in manifestation, it was already actualized. Everything that we're going to be or will be from eternity. Everything you see going on is just manifestation of God's eternal decree. He, the whole, everything, the entire of God's creation, he is manifestly working it, operating it, according to purpose or plan of the will of him. It's going according to God's will. In other words, everything is going according to God's plan. Elder, let's corroborate. Let's corroborate. Won't you, Elder, and my audience, especially my young people who I'm primarily talking to, we'll let the adults in on this also. Let's go to John 21, verses 15 through 23, and corroborate. John, Gospel of John, chapter 21, through verse 23. I'm sorry, chapter 21, verses 15 through 23. Elder, as soon as you have it, I want you to begin reading. Let me ask, do my audience have it? Almost got it? Most of them got it. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 23, Ella, when you light upon it, let it fly.
John.
This is corroboration of the Lord controlling all things and determining all things in his decree. everything regarding your life. In debt, got your finances all together, trying to get them there, don't know where your next paycheck going to come. Everything is according to God's decree. Things seem out of whack. He decreed in depravity and gave us a sinful nature through Adam. God did that. But it all will meet for his eternal glory. Yes. Let me show you how that God ordained and decrees and is sovereign in his eternal will, plan, and purpose for all of our life, all of our existence, all of our courses. And our a course mean a beginning point and an ending point. And it has obstacles, ups and downs, and it has directions in between. But a course is, has a beginning and an end, and it has different angles and ventures in between. All of our course was ordained, decreed by God.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Everything. Everything in that time capsule.
Amen.
Let her fly, Ella.
So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter,
Simon Peter,
Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
He's going to do this three times because Simon denied him out of fear. This was ordained. It was decreed. Three times. He denied. So he's going to do this three times. Read it, Ella.
He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah.
Yes.
Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
Yeah, you know.
He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time,
yes,
lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord.
Peter said to the Lord,
Thou knowest all things.
Now you know how you know all things? Because he has decreed all things.
That's right.
All right. We're gonna show you. One such thing that he decreed. We worrying about finances. I say we, me and thee, we. We worrying about finances. We worrying about the bills. We worrying about world peace. We worrying about somebody going to pull a dirty bum in the United States. Amen. In time. But God has decreed all things. Let me show you something else he has decreed. Read it, Ella.
Thou knowest all things.
Thou knowest all things.
I love thee.
Jesus
saith unto him, feed my sheep.
Yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself.
He's talking to Peter now. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself.
And walkest whither thou wouldest.
And you walkest wherever you wanted to.
But when thou shalt be old.
I'm not looking down in time and seeing what's going to happen. I'm telling you what is my will, plan, and purpose for you. It shall be manifested. Not Peter might do what we fixing to read, but it's going to go down and we have history to back it up.
Amen.
It's going to go down just like Jesus said.
Amen.
Read it, Ella, again. Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young.
When you was young.
Thou girdest thyself.
Yes.
And walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old.
But when you be older.
Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands.
You're going to stretch forth your hands.
And another shall gird you.
And another going to gird you.
And carry thee whither thou wouldest not.
And carry you where you wouldn't ordinarily go. To your demise. Jesus decreed this. We weren't about the financial and fiduciary things. The Lord has sovereign right over our life. He is our life.
Amen.
Let alone ordaining and decreeing the ups and the downs of our existence in time. He had already placed us where we actually and really are in Christ.
Yes.
So he's sovereignly manifesting what he wants us to go through, how he wants us to operate, what he wants us to have and not have, what he wants us to know and not know, who he wants us to be with and not be with. Amen. In time. He's manifesting.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
In time.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He told Peter.
Amen.
Exactly how it was going to go down according to his very life. Let's go one more time, Ella. One more time. In that.
What verse?
Turn with me to Revelations. I went here before. Revelation chapter 6, Elder, and verses 7 through 11. Thank you, Elder. And chapter 7 through 11, verse 7 through 11. Go with me, saints. I mean, young people. Turn there with me. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7 through 11. I went here before. God's sovereign, that is his absolute right, and eternal will, plan, and purpose. You have it, Ella?
Yes.
Revelation chapter 6. Let's see what right the Lord has. And this is his eternal decree that's being manifested. And we've been preached to an illusion for years that God wants everybody to be happy, wealthy, and healthy. May be and may not be. He wants you to have fullness of years, 70 and then some, and go to your grave in absolute peace and quiet serenity. May be and may not be, according to God's eternal plan for you.
Amen.
In the final analysis,
Amen.
In the bigger picture, how we go, how we proceed won't matter. We are already glorified, and we are already eternally placed in the body of Christ right now.
Right now. Amen.
Elder, begin reading at verse 7.
Revelation chapter 6, beginning with the 7th verse.
Now listen carefully who's talking and who's saying what. All right.
And when he had opened the 4th seal.
And when he had opened the 4th seal.
I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying,
mm-hmm.
Come and see.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death.
Mm-hmm.
And hell followed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth.
Mm.
To kill with sword.
Oh my God.
And with hunger.
Now,
and with
many,
death.
Elder, you're saying, how many folk we got on earth about now approximately? About 6 billion or more. A quarter of the earth will be killed with the sword and with pestilence. All right, read, Elder.
The sword, and, the fourth part, and to kill with sword,
mm-hmm.
and hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Verse 9.
All right.
And when he had opened the fifth seal,
mm-hmm.
I saw under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God.
You all know what slain means, don't you? I don't have to explain that. I like giving definitions. Slain men mean... Ohio. All right. I saw the souls of them that were slain. Why?
And
for the word of God.
For the testimony which they held.
And for the testimony that they held, just like we all have a testimony. Those of us in Christ. We do. And sometimes we talk about it, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what happened in verse 10, Ella?
And they cried with a loud voice,
all right.
saying, How long, O Lord?
Hold. I want you to get clear on who they are addressing here. What did they say again, Elder?
How long, O Lord?
How long, O Lord? They are addressing the Lord that's sitting, they have a vision of sitting on a throne, his throne. All right. How long, O Lord? What?
Holy and true.
He's holy and he's true. He's the very epitome of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. What?
Dost thou not judge
uh-huh.
and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
How long are you not going to get retribution for us or bring them to justice that have slain us? How long, Lord, you going to wait? We've been deceased a long time. They've been did their dastardly deed to us a long time. How long? All right. What else, Elder? Verse 11.
And white robes were given to every one of them.
White robes were given unto every one of them.
And it was said unto them.
And it was said unto them by the one whom they addressed, the Lord. What?
That they should rest yet for a little season.
Wait a little longer. I know it's been a good while since they killed you. but it's going to be longer than that. Wait some more. Why?
Until their fellow servants also.
I want some more kill. What?
And their brethren.
And your brethren.
That should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
I want some more to be killed just like you were. Now, as the Lord said that, I think you got pretty much the same Bible I got. Folk run around talking about God wants you to have this glorious death. Get all you can. Can all you get. That might be God's purpose, and it may not. He has a course for each and every one of us. Lord. Your course may be different from mine. Another brother may get about, have a big house, get all his bills paid. That don't say that we all gonna do it.
That's it. Amen.
And then Peter,
hallelujah.
Peter looked at John when Christ had resurrected. Peter looked back at John talking about, well, what about this man? I should have went on into that. Well, what about this man? That would be tantamount to me looking at Deacon Cutler here and talking about, Lord, you didn't give me a bout. What about him? You know, my neighbor got this and that and other. What about them? It's God's will, plan, and purpose for us. It's in his eternal decree. And he's manifesting it all for our lives.
Glory to God.
In time. God may want you at one level. He may want you at a lower level. Mm-hmm. Amen. I think everybody in this pulpit got a decree. Degree. Everybody in this pulpit got a degree, but me. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I got a 12th grade degree. Hallelujah. All right. Am I supposed to worry and fret about that? That was God's decree for these brethren. It was a different course for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Those of you that have the document for further enlightenment of God's sovereign, eternal will, plan, and purpose for all of his elect's life and for all of his creation. He is the Lord. He is God. He created all things. Praise God. All right? Those of you that have the document, sobering yet comforting facts. Sobering yet comforting facts. Let me open up sobering for you. Sobering or sober means not drunk or not illusionary. Believing that is one thing and it's not. Believing that he's saying one thing, but it's really not. Sobering yet comforting, consoling, cheering, gladdening, easing, encouraging, and well-being facts for the child of God. They are sobering, I assure you, but they are comforting to the child of God. God has, God made us accepted in the beloved. That's already done. You're not trying to be saved. You're not trying to get to heaven. You're already in Christ Jesus right now from eternity. From eternity. That's what the Word of God say. I know it's not popular preaching and teaching, but we have to go according to threefold manner of Bible exegesis. We go grammatical. That's the grammar in which the Holy Writ was writing. And what they call the New Testament is Greek. We go to the original language. We move away from our 500-year-old English language and go to the more ancient Greek language. Contextual, don't let nobody give you one scripture, take it out of context, and try to prove anything to you. Go up a little and down a little and see what's being said. It's like jumping in the middle of a conversation. That's not what you all even talking about. And women will let you know that in a minute. And historical, who God was talking to and what dispensation or what area of dealing that he was dealing with his elect in that period. Whatever his elect was in that period. Adam, he told him, don't eat of every tree. Adam them couldn't eat meat. Noah, he told him, you can eat anything you want. Kiss that rabbit there. Eat whatever you want. Abraham, he told him to come out. Moses, he told him to go up into a mount. God deals with his elect differently in what we call dispensations. And each dispensation has its own covenants, contracts, or agreement that go with that dispensation and go with that elect bunch in God. They don't carry over to this dispensation. Our stuff go over to that. We might do that, but God leaves the agreements, the contracts, and the good news, the gospel, to that dispensation. He didn't tell Noah, don't eat of a certain tree. He told him, hurry up, build a boat. It's going to rain. All right, sobering yet comforting facts. In general, if you don't have the document, just listen. In general, generally, mankind has been programmed through the preaching, the teaching, and the books that have been written and published throughout the years and even centuries. Mankind has been programmed to envision the existence of life as consisting of sequences. First, second, third, fourth. This happened, then next that. Oh my God, then that. Sequences that align with accomplishments according to human agendas. We all have agendas. But it's God's agenda that's going to win the day. God's agenda. God has a plan, a will, a purpose, an agenda. That's why we pray,
yes.
Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because at the end of the day, who you think's will going to be done?
Man.
When we are there pushing up daisies and in Christ, submitted totally to him, God's will still be manifested.
Amen.
And this earth is not waiting on a greater day in this environment. Forget it. It's not decreed. According to human agendas. From this has arisen the belief that one's own innate inclinations, you know, stuff out of us, things we are inclined, we come up with. Things out of us, in us. One's own innate inclinations as they translate into varying actions. We think that we determine things by things that we come up with. We think that. We really, really think that. That we determine things. Our course. Our aspiration to financial success. Our education. Or whatever. We think our safety. We think that we determine these things. All this resulting in independent determinants of daily occurrences. We think that that's the way it goes. Well, today I'm going to do it like this, and we'll work it like that today, and tomorrow we'll deal with it some other kind of way. That's what we think in the time capsule. Such is the expression of the terminology, decisions and choices. And we used to think, didn't we, brethren, that we chose Christ. We used to think that we got tired of sin. Your sinful nature don't ever get tired of sin. You can be praying and you got to put that rascal in perspective.
I hear you.
On your knees.
Yeah, that's it.
As they are perceived to control and shape these inclinations coming out into independent determinants. We think we're doing it, going to do it, and got it done. As they are perceived by us to control and shape the course of things that transpire or the things that go down. In the formulation of this mindset lies the basis. That is our basis, what we think, what we assume, what we assess,
yes.
Which seeks to assert man's independence from God based upon his own efforts. Such thinking even seeks to establish the ability of mortals, flesh and bones, to produce a new man-made Eden on earth, both personal in our own sphere and collectively all around us, by helping God. That's what we think. Don't you all get those little tracts about everybody being happy, got pomegranates and grapes and everything, and everybody grinning, them little pamphlets and stuff. That will be, but first of all, God is going to renovate this earth. What we see now shall not be. It ain't happening like that. This has brought forth the thinking that has moved mankind to the practice of worshiping things and worshiping self, and what one esteems to effectuate or bring about. Oh, I'm going to get it down. It's going to happen just like this. In this view, even God's people, in effect, create their own personal goals. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning, the planning thing, planning for children's education and so forth. But in all of our planning, in all of our thinking, in all of our assessing, we say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Things happen. I had planned on working at Ford until I was 65, pay off all my bills, and live happily, not ever after, a while anyway. The total opposite happened. I retired a year later, broke, and in debt. I had a plan, but it was not God's agenda. And I still left there. As soon as I saw a hole in, as soon as a visitor came in, opened the door, I split. Bye. All right. Yes, even God's people, in effect, create our own personal goals and glory in their perceived accomplishments. We get our children through college, and which is nothing wrong with that. That's what we all aspire to have children. But we have to say, Lord, let your will be done. Don't think the day is gone, all is lost, if it don't happen like that. We are eternally in Christ Jesus, irregardless of what go down here in the capsule of time. We're going to wrap up in time, and time itself, when God finishes with his purpose for it,
amen.
Eternity. We are just encapsulated now in eternity. He'll close up time, and we'll have eternity. Many subconsciously and even some consciously, I missed one. This unfortunate illusion, remember illusion, illusionary, thinking it's one way and it's not, thinking it's like this and it's like that. This unfortunate illusion does not take into account that God has a sovereign plan and purpose. God has his absolute right to execute his plan, which he does have, and his purpose, which he does intend. That has been already determined and worked out from eternity. If you see the Lord working, that is his manifesting what he has already decreed and worked out and finished from eternity. He's just manifestly working it out. That's it. That's all time is for. Manifestation of the Almighty's decree. Many subconsciously and even some consciously practice the pursuance of such without such what? Creating our own personal goals. Practice the pursuance of such without consideration of what is God's goal. That's why we say, the Lord, your will be done. Yeah, I want my kids to all go to college. I want one to even travel to China. It may not. As though their intentions can trump God's will. No way. In this sense, remember, Jesus told Peter what was going to happen. He didn't tell him what may happen or what he foresee might happen. He told him what was going to happen.
Amen.
Yes. Another was going to gird him and take him where he would not when he was old. That means he was going to his demise. He was going to be put to death for his testimony's sake and for the glory of God. He told him, said, this he signified by what death he shall glorify God.
Glory.
In this sense, the assumption is that God needs mankind's cooperation to accomplish goals, and that without such cooperation, nothing would or could be accomplished. In this view, it is assumed that humans are helping God. God don't need our help. But in reality, such posturing is only illusionary living. Illusionary living. Thinking it gonna be one way, and it's something altogether different. All of mankind, especially believers, must come to realize that no lives could ever be fixed or influenced apart from God through His design, which is His purpose, according to His plan and His will. Actually, nothing in this world will ever be fixed because nothing is actually happening apart from God's eternal plan and decrees, and is only temporarily functioning according to the dictates of human depravity or humanly depraved creation. God created sin and depravity and put it in the time capsule for His purpose. That's all it's for. It's for His purpose, which will ultimately be to His glory. And in spite of all this stuff, we're in this time capsule going through suffering and doing. We are glorified already in Christ. And that way the Lord is going to get more glory by taking us this route through our courses. Some who continue to misunderstand God's processes live in flawed confidence and esteem themselves instead of in God. Esteem themselves, or other than their esteeming being in God, it being in themselves. In reality, of course, such end up relying on, esteeming, looking to, and prioritizing things in the humanistic physical sphere. Prioritizing things in the time capsule. What the scripture bid us, if ye then being now risen with Christ, seek those things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Deal with the things of the earth. Pray God's manifested will in this and that and the other, but let your affection, let your heart, let your aspiration, your love be on the above things where Christ is. His receiving us, placing us in His body and the like. And thus, it is outrageous to assume that pitifully limited human beings could ever rise above their depraved, self-inspired efforts and create their own personal paradise on earth individually or collectively. It ain't happening. Unfortunately, this is the mode of thinking that forms the underlying impetus to perceived human agendas independent of the purpose of God. Amen. God's will, God's purpose be done. Amen. And I'm going to wrap up with one sentence. One half a paragraph. It's from our bulletin. Pastor read it, and the Holy Spirit lit me upon it. The Grace Gospel Church ministry believes and teaches that no one's life and or destiny is shaped or determined in the time capsule. Your life and your destiny, how you're going to end up, is not shaped or determined from within the capsulation of time, the time capsule. It's not. It's decreed from God in eternity, which we'll see. Is not shaped or determined in the time capsule, but in the divinely decreed will, plan, and purpose of God in eternity. That's where our destiny lies, from what God has decreed, planned, and purposed for us from eternity. I don't care what's going down in the time capsule. I don't care what's going down in our life and course right now. It is not what's decreed from eternity. It is not necessarily where it's going to be according to God's eternal decree. That's what I mean. God decreed one thing. It may seem like it's going another way, but it might take a totally different route. Let me say this, and I close. Pastor spoke also of the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In legalism, he was down with it. He was zealous of the law.
Yes,
and he thought that everybody that was believing on Jesus was an outright idiot and scum.
Yes.
And he did everything he could to make life as miserable for them as he possibly could. With all his resources and calling on the resources around him and all his energy, he persecuted them that believed on Christ. But he just didn't know that he was the chosen of God. As he said from his own, he was chosen from his mother's womb to be an apostle and to propagate the gospel of the grace of God. He was killing them, kicking them, dragging them, harassing them, running them down, chasing them down, doing everything. And he didn't know that he was one of them. He didn't know it. What was going down or what's going down now may not be, amen, what is the ultimate decree of God for us, our course. Amen. God's determined will and sovereign will, plan and purpose in eternity. God bless you, saints.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.